Thank you so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Going to take a look now at a Wisconsin program that's helping schools use solar power. We have three guests with us who are all involved in the Solar on Schools program. Amanda Schenebeck is the program manager for the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. We have Elise Couillard is the treasurer for the Couillard Solar Foundation. And Sarah French is the executive director of the Eau Claire Public Schools Foundation. So great to have three folks with us for this show. And certainly love to hear from you, too, as we join in conversation with our guests. What would you like to know about using solar power at your school, perhaps? You have questions about maybe how this helps teach students. You can join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us at ideas@wpr.org. So welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. And let's start out by talking about your organizations. I think that'd be a good way to start. Amanda, maybe we start with you. Go ahead and tell us a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I work for the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. We're a 501c3 based out of Custer, Wisconsin. And we've been around since 1990. We have a really big energy fair usually every year when there isn't a pandemic. We also do a lot of education and training in the solar field as well. So I'm lucky enough to manage the Solar on Schools program, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that we do.
I know, and I've actually even broadcast a couple of times from the MREA, the big fair, and it's always a lot of fun. So thanks for being with us. Elise Couillard, tell us about your organization.
Yeah, so I'm Elise. I'm the treasurer, and actually my father is here also. He's the founder of the Couillard Solar Foundation, and we're kind of a family volunteer board, and we assist, we help with funding both the Solar for Good and the Solar on Schools program to help nonprofits and schools get solar on their roofs in order to kind of reduce the fossil fuel use in Wisconsin, but also hopefully this spreads throughout other states and really kind of tackle this climate change crisis that we're in right now.
Yeah. And Sarah, let's turn to you. Sarah French, tell us about your group.
Hi, I'm Sarah French. I'm the executive director for the Eau Claire Public Schools Foundation. We are the charitable partner of the Eau Claire Area School District. So we do fundraising for projects and classroom grants and scholarships and all kinds of different things to benefit our public school district here in northwestern Wisconsin. And one of the exciting projects we have been able to work on recently has been Solar on Eau Claire Schools, which has been working with Amanda and Elise and Cal. And it's been really exciting to get solar on our two high schools here in Eau Claire.
Yeah, that's really, really, really cool. Well, I tell you what, maybe let's go back to Amanda and Elise. How did you start working together? Maybe Elise, from your perspective, or start with you?
Yeah, well, Amanda was working with MREA, and we did a lot of partnership with that organization and really supported the work that they did. And so Amanda kind of came to us with a proposal and said, you know, she'd really like to work closely with us, have a good line of communication on how to have solar on schools be as streamlined as possible. And so we just kind of set up more of a contact with her so that, you know, we can check in with her. And sometimes Amanda and I are texting really late past work hours and I'm bugging her with questions and stuff like that. But it really just started with a proposal of how we could really build this program and move forward. And the Solar on Eau Claire School was going on at that time. And that was kind of one of the pilots, but we were kind of working out how to fix an application process for other schools while at the same time working with the Solar on Eau Claire Schools. So,
oh, that's cool. Sarah, what drew your organization to Solar on Schools?
Well, we were so excited to hear about this program that is happening for schools and nonprofits in Wisconsin. And we actually learned about it through Cal Couillard, who is a Memorial High School alum. And so we were so excited to work with one of our alumni, and our district has taken on some sustainability initiatives. And so this just fit right in with our district's vision.
So it was a pretty easy sell to the foundation then.
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah, this was super exciting for our district, for our community. I mean, our community just came together to put panels up on our high school roofs. They were so excited about the project.
Oh, that's great. So what do schools have to do to get involved in the program? I'm not sure who to go. Maybe Elise, do you want to take a
crack
at that?
I'm going to actually spin that one back to Amanda.
Okay, we'll go to Amanda then. Sure.
Absolutely. So you can, first of all, find out more information on our website at midwestrenew.org/solaronschools. The biggest thing here is that we provide a grant to school districts. So if you're a student or a teacher or on the school board or even a community member that's really wanting to help your school go solar, you can kind of wave that flag up there, say, hi, I have a grant that can help lower the cost of the project. So how it works is that we donate up to 50 kilowatts of the solar panels themselves, which is valued about $20,000 towards your project. So it really does help bring down the cost. And again, that can be used to help incentivize the people that are going to be those decision makers to at least look into the project and figure out if there are ways to make those work. But beyond that, we have a whole bunch of resources, a basic FAQ sheet to kind of answer those initial questions, along with a whole lot of scoring rubric templates, RFP templates. I think the process can be really complicated, so we're trying as best we can to educate schools and community members, and then simplifying the process while also making it cheaper with the grant as well.
Well, maybe go to Sarah then. Sarah, what was the process like from your point of view?
It was so easy. It was awesome. Amanda, truly, I mean, we are all in this together. I know everyone's overusing that phrase right now, but truly, this is a community effort. And none of our organizations are able to do these sorts of things alone. And so it was so easy to work with Couillard Solar Foundation and with Midwest Renewable Energy. They helped us get out some marketing materials to reach broader audiences. And it was awesome. I mean, certainly it was hard work to do fundraising amidst a pandemic, but I mean, outside of that, this was a really exciting project to work on.
And easy, unlike what Amanda said. Amanda, from your perspective, is a little harder, but Sarah's got a lot of enthusiasm. I can see that. Are you finding that kind of enthusiasm when you talk to people? Elise, you're nodding your head yes.
Yeah, I think Amanda can speak to that too, of how many people that have reached out to her and have been really excited in this program. We're not quite at the building it beyond the state level. You can see a lot on the Couillard Solar Foundation website that we talk a lot about the Wisconsin roots. But sometimes we do get even, you know, people from out of state saying, when are you going to move out of state? But I'll let Amanda talk about how many people have approached her and just how excited we are about the growth.
Yeah, thanks, Elise. I think, you know, to Sarah's point is how easy it was. I think that what you really need is you need people that are passionate that are going to be wanting to push these projects forward. There's always going to be some champion that's kind of spearheading everything. And when you have that leadership, whether it's a group of folks or it's a single individual, the process can be a relatively smooth and, you know, easy process, as Sarah said. So I'm happy that they had a really great and easy process. And maybe I just hit you in the weeds looking at the details. But yeah, like speaking out to anybody that's listening, if you want to try and take the lead and start doing the research, it could be a real, you know, easy process to get things going.
Well, we'll talk some more. We're not out of time yet. We will take a break, though, for a quick look at the news, weather, and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Then we'll be back with our guests, and you will be able to ask some questions. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about using solar energy to save money for schools and also teach students about careers in the clean energy industry. Three guests for you today. Amanda Schenebeck is the program manager for the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. Elise Couillard is the treasurer for the Couillard Solar Foundation. And Sarah French is the executive director of the Eau Claire Public Schools Foundation. So what do you think about using solar on schools? Maybe your area school. Does your school have a clean energy program? Join in. Give a call. 800-642-1234. That's the number to call. Or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Really would love to hear from you. You know, I would expect, Sarah, that there have been some problems resolved by using solar power in your school.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. This was a big... Oh, sorry. This was a big community effort, and the impact that it has for our district goes well beyond, it's got a great educational component. It's got a career component to it. And it is also going to be saving our school district $20,000 a year in utility costs. So, I mean, it's a big benefit all around.
Wow. Amanda, I'm sure there are other advantages you could talk about, too. What are there drawbacks to it? Or maybe from Sarah's point of view, have you seen any drawbacks from your point of view, Sarah?
I mean, No. It's been a win. We love it.
Amanda, what about you? You got a comment there?
Well, I'm just going to talk about more of the benefits here, right? I think, maybe a little biased on this, but schools are just this really unique opportunity when they do go solar because, one, you are lowering your operating expenses without cutting any educational programming, which is not an opportunity that schools can come across very often. You're also really, you can involve students in curriculum. Students can help fundraise. They can help be a part of the whole process. And then they're learning about clean energy with, hands-on experiences. You know, these are the folks that are going to be the next generation of people that are working in the clean energy industry. And this industry is going to just keep growing. It grew 70% faster than the overall economy from like 2015 to 2019. So there's just massive potential here. And the last point I think I would make is that schools are centerpieces of their communities, right? So these are high impact, high visibility projects that really bring the whole community together to collectively learn about the benefits of solar and the process of going solar. So not only are surrounding school districts going to be looking to Eau Claire now and, asking questions, what was the process like, but you're seeing people that are going to consider it on their houses or on their businesses, and it spreads outward. So, hoping to just continue to spread it throughout the state there.
Yeah, Elise, maybe you could comment too. I see you nodding in agreement with what Amanda was talking about there.
Yeah, I definitely think all three of us are in agreement that it's really only benefits here. Within communities, we did notice that we have to combat misinformation sometimes, and communities being under the impression that their taxes are going to be increased or that they're in some way funding this project when in fact it exists off of donations. And then once the panels themselves are installed, we really don't anticipate any maintenance from that. These panels, these systems are known to work and work efficiently. So we did have to kind of do a lot of work to inform people. And that's all part of this process too, is educating about these solar installations and how efficient they are and how promising they can be for communities and schools. So that's not a drawback to installing solar, but that can be definitely an issue with trying to get this done in communities.
Yeah. Well, let's take a phone call here. Sarah in Eau Claire, let's go to you. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Larry, Sarah, Amanda, and Elise. Yay for solar. I really, really agree with it. My question is, have you heard about pushback from the utility companies against solar. It was legislatively occurring in the southern states, specifically Duke Energy, against people who were putting solar up all over. They changed the laws to inhibit the use, creation, installation of solar in their area. Do we see that here? Do we expect to see that here? That is my question. Are you aware of that, and have you seen any evidence of it, and do you foresee seeing any evidence of that? And I'll listen off the air. Thank you so much for your good work.
All right. Thank you. Elise, maybe we'll go to you.
Sure. Yeah. So we are well aware of some of the pushback we get back from utilities sometimes. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So part of the reason why this is being done on schools and nonprofits is that definitely we get less pushback in that arena. These government funded organizations, nonprofits who are, typically working, with lower budgets and things like that. The utilities know it's probably not a really good look to block projects, and we're not doing anything that's against legislation. But definitely just in the solar realm itself, yes, legislation makes it hard often for community solar and for businesses to have it be economical to put solar systems on. That can certainly be the case. And that's unfortunate, but I think Amanda wants to jump in with some points as well.
Yeah, Amanda?
Yeah, and I think my big takeaway here is that the policy landscape and the utility landscape is confusing in any state. So even as somebody that's working in the industry, it's very nuanced to try to figure out what the rules are and how to abide by them. But the point is that your contractors are experts in this, whoever you're going to be hiring to put your installation in. So they're going to be working with the rules that are available to them, and they're going to be telling you what your payback is with those existing rules. And so here in Wisconsin, it's still worth it in most cases for schools to go solar with whatever policies that we do have in place. And I know that there are some utility programs where they own the systems and they can put the system on your school roof for you, for example. And that's just one option that you have. So you have utility owned stuff, or you can own the system yourself. And again, your contractors are experts in all this, and they can help you figure out what your payback and what the benefits are.
Yeah. Sarah, thank you so much. Let's take another call. Lee in Waukesha, your turn. Hi, Lee. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I have a very short question. Are these grants and information available to private and parochial schools also?
All right. Available, yes. Is the Elise to you or no? I guess Amanda maybe, huh?
Yeah, so the grants that they have now are for public Wisconsin schools and colleges in the state of Wisconsin. For private schools, there is a sister program that the Solar Solar Foundation also does fund, and that's managed by Renew Wisconsin, and that's Solar for Good. So I would recommend that private schools reach out and search that program out through that organization.
Yeah, and what was it again? Go ahead, Elise.
Solar for Good is the name of that program. You can find it on the CooyerSolarFoundation.org website or the Renew Wisconsin website, Solar for Good.
And Cooyer, I should say that if we're looking, some people I'll bet had already gone to their computers to look up the organization. And Cooyer is spelled CoullARD.
There's
Did
an
I, right?
in there. So
oh, wait.
CoullARD. Yes.
CoullARD. We want to get that, and the Solar Foundation, you could add to that. So otherwise, I'm sure there are going to be people who are saying, why didn't he spell that for us?
It's not an easy one.
Oh, my goodness. So there is the possibility for private and parochial schools as well. So that's good to know, too. Well, How many schools? I have the list in front of me. There's quite a number of schools involved here. 2 or 6, 8, 10, 12, maybe 14, 15 schools at least, Amanda?
Yeah, so in the program's first year, which was from June 2019 to June 2020, I think we gave out 11 grants to schools throughout the state of Wisconsin. We've already, and I think that with schools, it's a very involved project or process, so I'm usually talking to schools before they even apply for the grants, and so we already have schools lined up for this next year as well. The word is definitely getting out there that not only is this grant available, but that, you know, going solar can be an easy process, as Sarah said. So it's happening, and I really recommend that schools at least look into it and see the resources that are available.
And let's talk about, maybe Sarah, you could talk about this in terms of it, how it might be fitting into your school at Eau Claire. How are sort of job experiences or whatever kind of becoming a part of this for the students?
Yeah. So one of the things that we found most exciting about adding solar to our schools, not only is it great for the planet, not only is it great for our district's costs, it has an incredible educational value add. It's exposing our students to careers in solar they might not have otherwise been exposed to or considered. And, you know, now that we have these solar arrays live on our two high schools, we're able to incorporate their performance into the STEM curriculum at our high schools as well. So, I mean, it's an incredible value add, educationally speaking, too.
And are you seeing from the students themselves, are you seeing, you know, excitement about it?
Oh, my goodness. I think one thing I hear over and over in this day and age is how passionate kids today are. They want to rally around something that they are passionate about. And when this project first started becoming a possibility in our schools, our kids at our two high schools were so excited. They worked together. There's always been a small town rivalry between our two high schools. And our kids came together. They created a video together, the two high schools, to share with the community, to encourage the community to get involved and donate. And they were just pumped about it. I mean, it was really cool to see both of our high schools come together and work together on this project to get their friends and their parents and the rest of the community excited about this for our schools.
Amanda, I know you wanted to add to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I can reflect that same sentiment there. The students are super passionate about this before, during, and after the solar project. And we've worked with schools that their whole solar campaign was started by a student green team or green club. You have students helping with the fundraising of the project. You have students demanding 100% renewable energy resolutions at their school district. This generation is super passionate about this, super wanting all of their schools to really get on board. So they're just integral in making some of these things happen. And then again, we just need to keep capitalizing on that to keep educating them, because they're going to be the ones that are living in this world and they're going to be working in this industry in the future.
Let's turn to an email from Matt. Matt emailed to ask, how does net metering work for these larger systems? And are they required to balance usage with generation?
I can speak to that, Larry. This is Amanda. It depends. That's the quick answer. It depends on your utility. Everything's different throughout the state here. So some net metering limits are 20 kW. Some of them are 100 and some are 300 kW. And how they are crediting you, if it's, we're going to get a little in the weeds, if it's a monthly or an annual true-up, again, depends on the utility. So you can reach out to your utility and ask those questions. They can tell you, your local utility rep. Otherwise, any of the local contractors that you're going to be working with are experts in the different utility programs, and they can look at those numbers, they can run the numbers and tell you how that is going to impact your payback on whatever system size that you have.
Bill emailed that school solar is great. However, he says much of a school's energy budget is spent on heating and cooling for which solar is not a particularly good fit. Many schools and other institutions have benefited from using woody biomass, wood chips, and those kinds of advanced technologies as well. Not only is the thermal energy source clean, it's also numerous environmental benefits, especially for forest management options. So he kind of concludes by saying, we too often restrict our energy conversations to power and transportation, forgetting that about a third of our energy consumption is from thermal purposes or for thermal purposes. So how would you respond on that, Amanda?
Yeah, so I guess a couple points that Wisconsin Public Schools collectively spend about $175 million annually on their energy costs, which is the second largest expense out of personnel. And then I know that solar does get a lot of the attention. It can be the sexy thing, for lack of a better word, that folks are looking to when they're going into renewable energy. But you pair it with geothermal, you pair it with energy efficiency, and then you can get right to that 100% renewable energy or net zero goals there. So it's by no means a cure-all or the own thing here, but I think with the benefits that come around with it, that we should be doing solar along with all of this at the same time.
Yeah. Elise, any comment on that?
Yeah. Well, I might be able to answer
this.
Cal
Pouliar is joining us there. Okay.
The electricity use, he mentioned heating and cooling, and when you talk about the cooling, that's all going to be done with air conditioners, which are run by electricity. So we do see, we have an array at the Deerfield High School, and their biggest electric bill is actually in the middle of summer when school is off, and it's all driven by the air conditioning costs. So actually, we do have to come up with better ways of heating our buildings in Wisconsin in the winter, because right now that is primarily natural gas. But heat pump technology was mentioned, and I think that will really be big in the future as far as moving away from burning the natural gas. But otherwise, you know, the bulk of the costs for a school for their energy load is the electrical costs, not the heating costs. I'm going to say 75% is electricity.
Wow. Okay, so that is a large amount. That was Cal Couillard, who is Elise's dad, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, and it was mentioned, too, actually, on WPR either earlier this week or last week when they were talking about the schooling year-round issue. It was mentioned a pretty staggeringly high number of Wisconsin schools actually don't have central air for the summer. So there would be schools in Wisconsin that air conditioning isn't an issue because it's not the technology they're using right now. They're not cooling their schools. So, you know, for not all schools is air conditioning going to be their highest cost.
Let's talk about participating in the program and how do people find out how to participate or at least apply to participate in the program.
Yeah, I can speak to that, Larry.
Amanda,
So first of all, we got two different sources that you can go to. There's the Cleared Solar Foundation website, clearedsolarfoundation.org, and then the Midwest Renewable Energy Association site, midwestrenew.org. And so to apply for the grant, you have to go to the MREA's website. It's really simple. It's online. I can send out paper copies if you need as well. We have all the basic information there and FAQs, introductory video to kind of get you started. So even if you're maybe just considering going solar, but you don't know anything about it, or if your school's even interested, you can find that information there. You can get those common questions answered. And then you can apply for the grant when you are ready to move forward with actually moving a project forward. And of course, I think all of us here are more than willing to answer any questions that any school or any student or any school board member has about going solar.
Well, I think it's a wonderful opportunity for schools, and oh my goodness, I think it's going to be. I hope you get a bunch of calls and comments relating to this program today. I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us. It's been a it's been a real pleasure having all four of you, as a matter of fact, with us today. And thank you so much. And I hope we have a chance to do this again. Are you looking forward? How many schools you got coming? 11 more for this coming year, is it?
I think we already have 6 or 7 grants secured. I actually just got an application in this morning. So now's kind of the pickup time where projects are officially moving forward. So I'm looking forward to beating our last year's number with the total number of grants as well as the total system size. We're just going to keep on growing.
Keep on growing. Okay. Thank you, Amanda, Cal, Elise, and Sarah. It's been a real pleasure, and I hope we have a chance to do this again, maybe get an update on how things are going. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
Well, Amanda Schenebeck is the program manager for the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. Elise Couillard is the treasurer of the Couillard Solar Foundation. Her dad, Cal, probably the president, and he joined us as well, and as did Sarah French, executive director of the Eau Claire Public School Foundation. It was really kind of uplifting to know that these kinds of things are happening, and I hope you take part if you can, and we'll have posted those links on the Larry Mueller Show website. So go to ideas at WPR.org/Larry. You know how to get there, and we'll have those posted for you. It's great to have them with us today. Tomorrow, oh my goodness, Friday already, Mark Koniak from the Green Bay Botanical Garden, our guest. That's tomorrow. In the meantime, a lot of fun and interesting conversation today. I want to thank you so much for participating, and I hope you'll stay with us because there's lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.